Saddle up your horses.
Welcome, everyone, to the Robin Walter Show. God bless you today. We have such a packed program. We just got to get moving right away. There are some things I feel like that are really particularly, especially important to share today. Areas where I've made up my mind, but I haven't made up my mind just because I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind because I feel instructed. I really do, by the Word of God, by history, by a whole bunch of things, and just don't cut this program short. And if I could, please encourage others to listen to this program, to get the podcast. Just hit the icon for the podcast, The Robin Walter Show, and you'll pull it up on any one of a number of platforms from which we haven't gotten yanked yet, praise God, or on Rumble in the search bar. No The, just Robin Walter Show with no spaces. And you will pull it up there. First of all, though, I want to launch with some good news. We've had many, many listeners in Las Vegas on KKVV that starting with this program, which is being broadcast on Friday, taped on Friday, air on Saturday. We are back on in Las Vegas. So that if you're listening to a podcast and you want to listen on regular radio, you have some others that you want to hear, want them to hear this program, but they don't have podcasting, they don't want to do that stuff, and I sort of understand that, but whatever. It starts this Saturday, April 2nd. I am not on at 7 a.m., which is my preferred time, but I'm on at 7 p.m. on Saturday. 7 p.m. on Saturday. And we've gotten everything worked out. I think it's going to bless everybody. I'm thrilled to be back on in Las Vegas. Second really quick thing of good news before we get down to the nitty-gritty, and we aren't going to waste any time today. Not that I think that I waste any time anyway, but maybe you think so, but not today. Just a shout-out to my home state of Arizona, which has passed legislation to prohibit trans athletes in girls' sports and gender reassignment on minors. Now, this is going to be challenged in the courts, and I have to tell you, Governor Ducey is not the best governor. He's better than any Democrat. He goes strong on some things and goes weak on some things. I don't fully understand him. He's really good on some things, and other things he's sort of loosey-goosey-doosey. But on this one, he's fabulous. And I would encourage that governor, if and when the Ninth Circuit strikes down this law, to simply blow off the Ninth Circuit, tell him to take that writ of mandamus, put it in a pipe and smoke it, and enforce the law anyway. It's time to do what God says to do, regardless of the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit or the Supreme Court, now that they're going to be adding yet another loser in Ketanji Brown Jackson, goodness sakes, what a horrific, horrible pick. Well, anyway, it's time to. They don't have the authority to exceed their authority. Never forget that. No court has the authority to exceed the authority. They don't just have the authority because they say they have it. Okay. Well, anyway, I think it's interesting that in the last couple weeks, the people that I am meeting that are coming to Arizona. Now, Arizona has an influx of some Californians who are absolute losers who are trying to go spoil another state and don't realize that they're the reason the state they left is a pile of crap. But I really believe they are exceeded by the number of people coming to the state for the right reasons. I've just met a couple yesterday moving here from Canada. They're actually dual citizens. They got to get out of Canada. They couldn't stand the state of Washington, where they spent about 1 week, and they spent 1 month in Paso Robles, California, and they said, we're out of here. We got to come where there's freedom, and that state is called Arizona, the best state in the Southwest. So I just applaud this state, even though Phoenix is growing like crazy, and all it takes is one really bad city to screw up a state. I hope and I pray that that doesn't happen. Now, on to topic number one today. I've made up my mind on three things. This program is going to be broken down to three segments. I have made up my mind on who is worse, Joe Biden or Vladimir Putin. I'll just tell you, the second part of this is I've made up my mind as to whether or not Donald Trump needs to run in 2024. And then part three, I've made up my mind about what God would have us to do. Not that I was waffling on that, but a determination and a commitment that what we have to do no matter what happens with points number one and points number two. So here we go. Hang on. Get ready. You can always listen to this program and send it on to others. I just feel like this is, I don't know, every program feels more important than the last program. I don't know why that is. Sort of like elections. Every election we say, this is the most important election we've ever had. Well, yes, it is. I guess because we can't do anything about the one that is passed, right? Well, maybe not, but generally speaking, you can't unscramble the eggs. You can't put them back in the shell. So the most important election is the one that we are facing right now, 2022 and 2024. But get this out. This is just really important. Okay. Who's worse, Joe Biden or Vladimir Putin? I did a program, if you recall, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Who's leading in the race to hell, Joe Biden or Vladimir Putin? And I made the point, and I'll restate it in the launch of this program, that they are each maybe worse in some different ways. And somehow you got to weigh the evil out in the balance and determine which is, as they say, the lesser of two evils. Well, it's not a case where we have to pick somebody, but it is interesting to know, in my mind, and now there is no question, who's absolutely worse. But I want to start before I give you that answer, and you'll probably figure out the answer on the way to the answer. All right? I may not have to share anything. So now we have, just in the last 2 days, Joe Biden applauding transgenderism. He's going to launch the new X gender marker because you're cis, non-cis, binary. I don't know what any of that crap means, and I don't want to know. Because remember, there are only two genders, male and female, and Democrats made up all the rest. All the rest of these so-called alleged genders are made up by Democrats. That tells you from how deep from within the pit of hell they have come. Because look at who Biden has appointed. Goodness, you got Rachel Levine, now called a woman of the year by USA. Tells you where USA is. And there's another definition for that acronym, but no, we're not going to share that. But this guy makes me sick. Makes me want to throw up when I see the guy. And then you got Pete Buttigieg. Oh, my gosh. And he does make me hurl. I cannot see these. You know, I'll ask you a question. Is it a hate crime if you have a gag reflex and throw up when you see queers kissing? Well, of course it can't be. God put that in us to be revulsed unless your conscience has been seared by that behavior. Okay, that's just one little point right there. Now, number two, Joe, not wavering on this particular topic, he now has under Becerra, Mr. Becerra, the loser from California, the head of Health and Human Services, the first federal agency to fly the tranny pride flag. When I see one, if I can do it without committing a crime, I want to burn it. Hey, the left burns the American flag. Why can't we burn the queer flag and the tranny flag? Except it'll be a hate crime then. Who gives a rat's rear end if it is? Yeah, I hate sodomy. And most of all, I hate what the left, government teachers, school teachers, the left is doing to our children. That's why these are fighting words. Fighting words, big time. Next. Well, you know what? Just a second. I got a, I got to finish the debauchery coming from Becerra. Gosh, this guy, I just can't stand this guy. But Harris is from California. Becerra is from California. There's some good people from California, but, you know, they don't make it anywhere. So they are just really, they are so proud of Trans Pride flag. You know, what is the key sin in Scripture? Pride. And who is more proudful about pride than those who say gay pride and tranny pride? Nobody is more unbiblical in extolling the virtues of queerdom and their pride, which is the ultimate cardinal sin in Scripture. Nobody is more filled with the pride, sin of pride, than those who advance pride and are proud of pride. I guess you caught my drift, right? So Xavier Becerra, he's tweeting the tranny pride flag outside the Hubert Humphrey building. Hubert Humphrey would gum out of his grave and puke on Becerra's lap if he knew that a tranny pride flag was flying outside of his building. Oh, my gosh. So Becerra says discrimination against transgender people has no place in this country, and the government will continue to do everything in our power to protect the health care of transgender people, including their access to gender-affirming care. Becerra, you're riding shotgun on the stagecoach to hell after it passes through Brokeback Mountain with Joe Biden. You cannot do this and be a Christian. Joe Biden cannot do what he's doing and be a Christian. There is no stinking way. You know them by the fruit? Well, if every single plum that falls from the tree is full of worms and rots and stinks, you know the tree. We want to gender affirm them. Yeah. Help send them to hell. Help bind them to a life of torture, misery, far elevated drug abuse. Suicides. Look, among the trannies, the queers, the suicides, the mental problems, the drug use is off the charts. But the mainstream media won't tell that because we don't want them to feel bad. Well, you know what? If somebody is really screwed up, what is helping them? Telling them that they're really great and we want to affirm their scrotum? Or do we tell them, look, Jack, this is sin. God has called you to something better than that. Do you want to be delivered from the torture and the bondage you're stuck in, even though you don't think it's torture and bondage, but if you were honest, you would admit that it is? Well, you get an answer that I think would provide an answer that these people are anything but gay. No, they're not gay. They're miserable. So, you know, all of this with Becerra comes a day after Joe Biden celebrates Tranny Week by issuing his statement to commemorate Transgender Day of Visibility. No, Joey baby, it's time for them to go back into the closet and it needs to be a prayer closet. They need to be delivered. They need to be set free. So he's after those states. This is what's happening. Arizona and Florida and soon to be Texas are convicting Joe Biden, all the Democrats, the queers, the trannies of their sin. That's all this is, because, you know, it used to be, hey, you know what, let's just have them have domestic partnerships, because all they said is we want to be left alone. They don't want to be left alone. They want to be free from anything that condemns them and convicts them of the gross sin and the debauchery and the abomination of which they participate. Look, I'm on God's side. If God calls sodomy an abomination, I get to call it that too. They want to shut up, slam, cram, and jam everything down our throat to stop us, sue us, kill us, what have you, so that we don't get to speak to things that would convict them of their sin, and a kindergarten through third grade bill that says this is not appropriate, that at that age they are so stinking triggered that Hollywood's got to go shouting gay, 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 gay on the Oscars, which I didn't watch, couldn't care less. I don't even, you know, the Oscar is so tainted in my mind, I don't even like Oscar Mayer Wieners anymore because the word Oscar is in it. Well, I'm getting carried away, right? Carried away with the truth. Yeah. Yeah, baby. So did you see the pictures of Joe Biden this week? Recent pictures. He's fondling two girls. He takes them by the side of their shoulders and runs his hands up along the top of their collarbone and their neck and then back down. I'll tell you what, why aren't the mothers and dads telling Joe, get your stinking hands off my daughter, you pervert? The pervs are in power. So inflation's out of control. We got open borders. They're talking about a potential 500,000 illegals per month once Joe eliminates the COVID requirements for the incoming, even though he keeps them for people trying to escape Canada. Open borders, crime running amok, abominable foreign policy, and all Joe can talk about this week is hormone distribution and proudly, in the name of pride, destroying children's lives. So, I'll let you answer the question here. Is it now? Is it a hate crime if I puke when I see a couple of queers kissing, which I can't stand? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, one more before we get to my conclusion here. TSA, which I've never liked, like I've shared before. I wept the day that George Bush announced it because I knew it would be used against us. They bow, as Breitbart says, to the radical tranny movement announcing plans for a gender-neutral screening process in boarding planes. And why? A gender-neutral screening process by TSA to, quote, advance civil rights. What? What on earth is TSA doing, thinking their role, their job is to advance civil rights? No, you jackasses is what I want to say. You guys, that's not your job. Your job is to keep the airlines safe, to keep the bombers, the shoe bombers and the whatever bombers off the planes. You are there for security reasons, not to advance civil rights. This is how warped and perverted this government is. It is why the pot of judgment is ready to pour over. It is being filled rapidly. Since when is the purpose of TSA to advance civil rights? They just want to participate. Apparently, they don't want to be left out in participating in the destruction of this country. So we got a moral. We got the government we deserve. John Adams, James Madison. Argument as to who said that, I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's true. Doesn't matter who said it. It's true. So we've got this morally brain-dead addition to the Supreme Court who is going to be supporting everything that I just got done reading to you, which, of course, includes, you know, Disney has gone screwy. I mean, you know what? Isn't it time for Disney to be rated R or X? I couldn't care less if the place burned to the ground. I'm not encouraging anybody to do that. I'm just saying, If a meteorite fell out of the sky and Disneyland, Disney World were absolutely destroyed, I'd probably cheer from the sidelines. So what? Florida can get a other business that has a righteous theme park that's not stuck with Trannyville and Queerdom as Disney is. I will never go there. I like to help my grandchildren out every now and then with their vacations. Not if they ever announce they're going to Disney World. No way. In fact, I've said this and I still stick with it. If either of my children or grandchildren announce that they were Democrats and supporting this, I cut them out of my will, out of my trust. I'm sorry. I'm not going to subsidize that behavior. So a couple of days after Biden's claim that as Breitbart says, the galactic government overspending, which is requiring the Fed to create large amounts of new money. He claims it doesn't cause inflation. Right? Doesn't cause inflation. And then Nancy Pelosi says that attacking those who point to the Democrats drunk on power spending as the main inflation culprit, she insists that, quote, the government spending is doing the exact reverse, reducing the national debt. It is not inflationary, end quote. This is the gross stupidity of Nancy Pelosi. We don't know when she's drunk and when she's just stuck on stupid, because there's a complete conflation of those symptoms. If a bullet entered her left ear, it would emerge from her right ear without any material reduction in velocity, because there's nothing there. It's what we know as a vacuum. Nothing. She's a reprobate mind, as discussed in Romans 1. So is Joe Biden. So is Kamala Harris. So is Ketanji Brown Jackson. So is Chuck E. Cheese Schumer. They are reprobates. That God's given over to a reprobate mind, people with seared consciences. Do you know, okay, it doesn't cause inflation. I have read, I need to vet this, I'm trying, so far so good, but I've read that 25% of all the money currently in circulation in the United States has been printed since Biden came into office. I can't absolutely verify that fact, but I'm going to try. And I'll more on that when we come later. But the left is so far left, they're gone. We're headed to civil war. Get your guns, your ammo, because civil war is coming. It just is. Buy your land in Texas or Oklahoma or Tennessee or Florida or Arizona. Because we get down to, I mean, goodness sakes, Jonathan Show is a really good reporter for an ABC affiliate in Seattle. Yeah, there are a few good people. Not because he pushes a conservative cause. He just tells it like it is, and he just shows things. So the other day, he did a video of a Proud Boys, Seattle Proud Boys rally. And he just wanted to see what went on. He wanted to see if there was violence. He wanted to see if there was destruction, like BLM and Antifa, which the mayor of Seattle or Portland called, you know, the summer of peace. Oh, gosh. Now, and then he tweeted it out. He tweeted out the video of the march. That's all he did. No commentary and nothing that showed anything that would speak of violence or destructive behavior or anything antisocial, with one exception. The tweet happened to pick up a few protesters protesting the Proud Boys, who were calling them names and flipping them off with a middle finger of diplomacy. What happened to Jonathan Cho? He got fired. He got fired. And why did he get fired? Because he showed the truth. Because he dared to show a video where nothing negative was going on. Nothing negative ever went on. They didn't want the Proud Boys be seen as predominantly in this city as being decent people who had a lawful protest, and didn't want to show the BLM and Antifa people or little twits on the sideline flipping their middle finger. Get fired. That's where we are. You get fired for telling the truth. Which means you get promoted at CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, you name it. Google, Twitter, Facebook. You get promoted for concealing the truth and promoting lies and deception. Sort of like the CIA officer. This is how sick it is. The CIA officer who signs the bogus letter about the Hunter Biden laptop. I don't need to go into this, but because you heard it on Tucker and Hannity. What's this loser's name, this guy who needs to go live in Cuba? I don't know, Cypher is his last name. I can't think of his first name here right now. He's proud. He's proud of his lying. John Cypher. He says, I take special pride. No, he's probably queer or a tranny. He's full of pride in personally swinging the election away from Trump by a bogus thing on the Russian dossier. He's proud of lying to help get Trump out of office, and he worked for the CIA. Well, maybe the meteorite can just take him out. Maybe he goes to Disneyland when that meteorite strikes. People say, Rob, why are you this way? Why are you so angry? You know what? I'm getting angry because people who should be angry aren't angry. Because what you just heard, starting with all this tranny queer stuff, is why I've made up my mind that notwithstanding the horrific acts going on in Ukraine, I consider Joe Biden morally worse than Vladimir Putin. And significantly so. Here's why. None of this justifies what's going on in Ukraine and the women, men, children that have died and are hospitalized. None of it does. Some of it seems to be explained today. Even the mainstream networks, which are now pulling back from letting Joe calling Putin the boogeyman and the monster, and he's got to be regime change. They're going to trigger this guy. So they're now contending that Putin is doing what he's doing because of bad intel from his generals. In other words, even the left is trying to de-trigger Putin by pulling back on how bad he is by saying that he's really under the influence to some degree of bad intel from his generals. What if that's true? Who the heck knows what's true today? And yeah, I don't applaud that killing. Is it a killing that is done by design? Has Putin said, look, I want you to kill as many men, women, and children as you possibly can. Attack the hospitals and the schools. I'm not sure that he said that. Maybe he has, and if he did, that would be evil. But why is Joe Biden worse? Because Joe Biden, all right, if in fact, let's make it the worst, that Trump or that Putin really is okay. Putin is okay. He's not encouraging, but he's okay if some children and women and so forth get expended in the process, which is horrible and wicked. He doesn't support abortion and more children are killed in the womb. And Joey Biden loves blood emerging from the womb. And now Joey Biden is not only okay with expanding abortion at all levels, making sure that women can get to states where they can slaughter unborn children, which Putin doesn't do. Joey Biden is totally fine with destroying children on the birthing table and destroying children emotionally, spiritually, and physically by way of sex change operations and gender changing drugs. Joey fits Jesus' words, where Jesus said, it's better if a millstone is tied around your neck and be cast into the sea than to lead these little ones astray. Joey is killing them before they're born, when they're born, and destroying them emotionally, physically, and spiritually after they're born. The most evil man on the face of the earth. Hey, we're just getting started, but that answers question number one. Who's the worst? We'll be right back. Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358, or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
I want to be a good man, a do like I shouldn't, man. I want to be the kind of man the mirror likes to see. I want to be a strong man and admit that I was wrong, man. God, I'm asking you to come change me into the man I want to be.
We are back. This is the Robin Walters Show. Okay, point number two. I've made up my mind. I have held off on throwing my hat into the ring for the 2024 presidential election. I thought, I don't know. You know, is there a place for Trump? Is it DeSantis? Is it Abbott? Is it somebody else that's going to rise up? Well, that all could happen. And, of course, I reserve the right to change my mind. But for right now, I have made up my mind, and I am throwing my hat totally 100% behind Donald Trump. Now, probably people say, well, why did it take you so long? Well, I just didn't need to jump into something. But what I needed something from God. And I feel like, you know, I was this, Ghostbusters, you know, on a mission from God. Well, you know what? I didn't have to take a position. I didn't want to take a position until I had something leading me in my heart and in the sense in my spirit as to, is this a biblical thing? So the first thing that I asked God was, is there a biblical basis for Trump returning to office? Start praying that 3 days ago. Here's the answer I got. Yes, there absolutely is a biblical basis. I'm going to throw this out. I don't have time to read it. I would love to go into detail. But it's out of 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And what happened? There is a, past his prologue, there's an Old Testament paradigm for this. I asked God, was there a place where somebody left office, biblically, left office for reasons that were not right? They were driven out of office and then returned. And I, you know what? It was so obvious, but it escaped me until the Holy Spirit revealed it. King David. David lost the throne due to the improper and illegal means of his son Absalom, who, what did he do while David was on the throne? I got to read this one part. David is on the throne and Absalom sets himself up in places of authority. And it says in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3, it says, and Absalom said unto this man, see, your matters are good and right. And he's talking about somebody who complained to him at the gate about some injustice. He said, your matters are good and right, but there's no man from the king who is able to hear you. So Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which has a suit or a cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came to Absalom to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. You see, Absalom did the suck up to the people like Biden did. Absalom was involved in lying about his own father, David. Lied and abused his authority until it got to the point where then it says in verse 10, Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel. How about this? How about stealing the election? How about the Steele dossier? How about the deep state? Absalom sent for David's servant Ahithophel, David's counselor, who joined him and offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy, listen to this, verse 12, and the conspiracy against David was strong. The conspiracy. It was all illegal. It was all inside. It was the Jerusalem deep state. He didn't do anything wrong to cause to be driven from office, and he finally had to abdicate. And guess what? He returns. David returns after he is improperly and immorally driven away by the powers that be through a conspiracy of lying to change the hearts of the people. He returns. Oh my gosh, do I love the Word of God. This blows me away. It shouldn't, but it does. Deep state, absolutely. So when David is on the way out, who is throwing, kicking up dust? Shimei. And he's calling David names on the way out of office, like, hey, you know, let's shoot him in the butt. Let's shoot him in the rear end because he's out of here. And who was Shimei? Shimei was a relative of Saul, the one who David replaced. This is sort of like Shimei and others were hangers-on, some of them from Saul's administration, just like Trump had hangers-on from Barack Hussein Obama's administration. He didn't get rid of all of them. He couldn't drain the swamp. There are too many of them. And the Shimeis, like Obama's hangers-on, attacked David. Of course, when David returned to power, Shimei confessed, oh, King David, oh, you're so great. I didn't mean it. Don't hurt me. David said, no, I'm not going to hurt you. But on his deathbed, he said, Solomon, take that jerk out. I promised I wouldn't do it, but you do it. So you got the deep state, the Faucis, you got all these people in the Department of Justice lying. You got this jerk in the cipher, the CIA guy that lied to get Trump out of office. But he didn't leave office when Trump was sworn in. He left. These guys do their damage. They're termites. They eat away morning, noon, and night. But you don't see it till the building collapses. Folks, the building is collapsing. But that wasn't all I asked of God. I said, God, okay, I don't need anything more than Scripture. So I go to bed. I wake up in the middle of the night. I have a new prayer. God, would you show me something historically? Now, the Bible is historical, but it's historical from a spiritual perspective as well. But is there something historical with the United States that would give a basis for for Donald Trump to return to office? And he moved me. I got up. Maybe I knew this once, but I'd forgotten it. So I go online. Yes, there was one president who left office. He lost the election, and things, catch this, things got so bad, they voted him back in. We're already tracking, ain't we? Grover Cleveland was in 1885 our 22nd president, and he then became our 24th president. He was replaced, by Harrison in between. We have a precedent of a president being driven out of office, so to speak. He lost, but then things being so bad that 4 years later, he comes back. Interesting that Grover Cleveland was a Presbyterian like Trump, born on the East Coast like Trump. He was fearless. He said that he had this amazing ability to become so focused on a particular topic that he would not let up till he accomplished it. Who does that sound like? And enough people hated him because of his, and here's why they hated him. Grover Cleveland hated special interests. I learned all this anew. He didn't like the deep state. He didn't like those who were buried in wrapped up in Washington, D.C. and other places of special interest. And so the special interest rose up and drove him out of office. I'm going to quote here from a historical piece. Cleveland vigorously pursued a policy barring special favors to any economic group. He voted a bill that would have otherwise appropriated $10,000 to distribute grain, seed grain, among drought-stricken farmers in Texas. And why? He wrote, quote, "Federal aid in such cases encourages the expectation of paternal care on the part of the government and weakens the sturdiness of our national character." End quote. Way to go, Grover. And I'm not talking Grover from the Muppets. Okay, boys and girls. No, not that Grover. This is a guy who knew what the role of the federal government was and what it wasn't. This is just, I keep my research going. He angered the railroads because he ordered an investigation of things that were given to them by the federal government. How about all the money our government has given the media, the hundreds of millions of dollars to push the COVID crapola and the other misinformation? Grover Cleveland said in 1887, he said, "What is the use of being elected or reelected unless you stand for something?" Nobody stands for something more than Donald Trump. Now let's get back to why he was reelected in 1892. Guess what? There was a depression, which is coming. The United States was riddled by national debt and inflation. I talked last week about national debt. $30 trillion, over $100,000 per person, growing at the rate of 50% every 6 months. Printing money like there is no tomorrow, because there is no tomorrow. I quoted all the founding fathers on the tragedy and the devastation of national debt. That's what brought Grover Cleveland back into office, was inflation and national debt. And he repealed inflationary policies, and he returned the Treasury to a gold reserve. So there you've got it. You've got a historical precedent in the United States. I mean, every time I think about this program today, I keep getting the goosebumps all over, and I'm getting the goosebumps while I'm giving it. The past is prologue, the precedent in with David from the Word and from Grover Cleveland, our own national history for the return of Donald Trump. Now, maybe it doesn't happen, but the precedent is there. I am all in with this guy. All in. Now, I'm going to share something this is not part three. I'm not to part three yet. But part three deals with what do we do if it doesn't happen? You got to be made up in your mind if it doesn't happen, too. But I want to draw on a piece, Joseph Farah from WorldNet Daily, just one of my heroes. I love this guy to pieces. He is a born-again Christian of Arab extraction, a guy who probably, before he got saved, probably hated Jews. Now he loves them. There's no greater advocate for the nation of Israel besides Joseph Farah, except for myself. But Joseph has got a bigger microphone than I do. So he is writing, and he entitles a program, "Why Wait for 2024 for Trump?" Now, I'm wondering, is this just crazy, Joe? I mean, not Joe Biden, I mean Joseph Farah. Or Farah. I sometimes don't know how you pronounce his last name, even. I hear it both ways. is this exciting, or is it crazy exciting? How does he have any official influence prior to 2024? How? Well, let me quote from Farah for a minute. He says, I mean the use of the impending 2022 red wave that's coming in the midterm election is to might help get Trump two more years as president. And I'm thinking, what? Now, I'm not sure that that's possible. But there is something here. And he goes on, I thought with Trump's popularity among most Republicans that the new GOP majority in the House could elect him speaker in January of 2023. And I'm thinking, what on earth are you talking about? So back to the research. If I ever knew this, I don't remember it. Just like Grover Cleveland, I don't remember. The Constitution does not require that the Speaker of the House of Representatives be a representative. No requirement. No, it's been custom. It's been tradition forever for them to elect one of their own. But oddly, amazingly, the Constitution does not require that. The Constitution allows and permits the majority party in the House of Representatives to vote in as Speaker of the House whomever they want, whether that person is a member of Congress. I.e., it is entirely lawful for the House to vote Donald Trump in January of 2023 to be Speaker of the House if, in fact, the Republicans take over the House and there's enough Republicans to support them. Now, Trump is on a full-scale blitz getting good Republicans in, bad Republicans out. Can I say that that's what he wants to do? I don't know. No, I can't say that for a fact. I don't know what's on his mind. But I do know that Matt Gaetz, he's what a great congressman from Florida. My goodness sakes. He said, and he might be a renegade, and I love him. Right now, renegades are the real deal. Like that shirt that I saw. When tyranny becomes law, revolution becomes duty. When tyranny becomes law, revolution becomes duty. It only matters how the revolution is carried out. If you got the right motive, then you've got to have the right methodology. You carry it out right, it's a godly thing. If tyranny becomes law. But Matt Gaetz, the renegade Florida congressman, he is openly and publicly working to nominate Trump as president, as the Speaker of the House, if in fact the Republicans take over. And Trump was actually president. I'm sorry, he was present, not president. I'm speaking prophetically. He was present when Gaetz made that comment publicly in Florida. It's just amazing. A few weeks later, Steve Bannon, the former chief strategist for Trump in the early days, gave a speech to the Boston Republicans, which turned into a Boston Herald headline. Quote, Trump is a disruptor, but he has a long-term vision because I absolutely believe in the marrow of my bones that he will be our nominee in 2024. He'll come back to us, and we'll have a sweeping victory in 2022, and he'll lead us in 2024. Trump is not pushing back on any of this. He's not pushing back on Gaetz's statement. He's not saying, yeah, I want to be Speaker of the House, but he's not pushing back on it, and he's president when Gaetz said it. So, and interestingly, if he were Speaker of the House, guess what he could do? He could lead the impeachment of Biden and then move right on down the line to Harris. And if some coinky-dink, they were both impeached and the Senate confirmed those impeachments, Trump would be president in 2023, next year. I don't think that's going to happen, but who knows? He could. That absolutely could happen. But I'm just still blown away that he could be Speaker of the House. If it gets no farther than that, he can bring the impeachments, bring them on, one, two, three. Biden has got about 15 bases upon which he could be impeached. Have 15 impeachments. Harris should be impeached for 14 of the same 15 reasons. Can you be impeached because you're ridiculously stupid and dumb and you cackle like a hyena? Well, the last one, no. But she's an idiot. She's an absolute moron. It's just that Joe is incompetent and stupid. Harris is competent and stupid. Mentally. I meant mentally. Not competent to hold office as being qualified. Joe is incompetent mentally, and he's wicked and stupid. Harris is competent mentally, but she's wicked and stupid. There's the only distinction. Part three to the program, what have I made up my mind to do? What happens if all of this is wrong? Joe Biden wins a second term, or he gets the big hook and Cammy No Brains Harris is there, and Jackson is on the Supreme Court, and something happens to Clarence Thomas. I love that. I love Clarence Thomas. You see, Republicans well, you know what? That's a digression. I can't go there or I won't finish. Here's the third thing. I am going, the third decision, it's not a new decision. It's just a reinstatement. It's sort of like somebody, you know, redoes their marriage vows kind of a thing. It says, I am going to follow God no matter what. As for me and my house, no matter what, we are going to serve the Lord. When it's said in Scripture, choose you this day who you're going to follow, the Lord or Baal. I am going to follow God no matter what. You know what? I want to be on this earth as long as I can to have some influence. I prefer to not go in the way of a nursing home. I prefer to not go from some sickness or disease. I prefer to go with my boots on. I want to be like the lawyer that I talked to a few years ago, 94 years old. I called him in his office, and I said to him, do you remember such and such a party? Do you remember drafting this contract back in 1968? He says, yeah, I do. Of course I do. I said, holy moly. Man, I'm in high school in 1968. He remembered it, practicing law. And he said, you know, I'd like to talk more, but I got to rush off to court. I got a hearing in about a half an hour. 94 years old. I want to be like that guy, not in court, but doing God's word and will and work in the court of the kingdom. That's what this program is about, is encouraging you, whatever you do, before you pick up yet another book to read, set two books in front of you, the book you want to read and put the Bible. Put the book you want to read on the left hand. Put the Bible on your right hand, because it's on the Bible that you put your right hand and swear when you come into office, whether it's the Supreme Court or whatnot. Then ask God, Lord, which book do you want me to read? I don't care if you've read the Bible 17 times. I have, and I'm still reading because I forget stuff. I can't believe how fast I forget it. But every time I reread it, I learn the old stuff again and then learn something new on time number 18. Put it before you, before you pick up any other book. Put that other book on the left, the Bible on the right. Ask God, which one do you want me to read? And if you lead me to read the Bible, will you show me what's going on? Like I hear on Red Sky Radio and the Robin Walter Show, and like I hear on these other programs, teach me your word through your word. Teach me, show me what is going on. And then, if there is any waffling in me, if there's any sin in me, point that bright light and burn it out like a laser. So I can take the beam out of my eye. Because in that passage of Scripture, the beam is in my eye only because I've got the sin. But the ultimate purpose in that Scripture was get the beam out of that eye so that you can help take the speck out of your brother's eye. You get the beam out of yours so you can help others. You can help society. You can help those Christians who are waffling and are compromising and are struggling in their faith because they don't have the guts to stand up. They are too focused on being liked by man to be approved by God. You need to make up your mind now, because when the time comes that you're faced with, okay, do I want toilet paper or not? Do I want to be able to buy and sell or not? Do I take the mark of the beast because I am afraid of what's going to happen to me personally? Is it going to cost me my life? Am I going to end up in the gallows? Am I going to end up in a guillotine? Am I going to lose my head? Am I going to end up sued? Is the prison ministry that I've always prayed about having someday going to come because I am in prison personally? Make up your mind now. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to call? It won't be well, I guess it could be Ghostbusters, because the Ghostbuster is God. But who are you going to call? Who are you going to call upon? Because the word says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you call upon God, give me the strength, O Lord, to stand up, to having done all to stand therefore. And come what may, I will not disappoint you, Lord. God bless you all. Sit tall in the saddle. Remind you, ride the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll talk to you next week.